My brother priests, thank you for being here this evening in such great numbers. You are my first and most important collaborators, not only in putting into effect a pastoral plan, but in everything that I do. So your presence here tonight means a great, great deal to me, and I'm sure to all of our people. Deacons, thank you for being here. You too are the ones that support my arms, as they did in the Old Testament with Moses. So thank you also for all that you do. And brothers and sisters in Christ from parishes throughout the diocese, thank you for being here. What a beautiful expression of the church this is, the bishop surrounded by his priests and deacons celebrating the Eucharist with the faithful people of his diocese. This is a wonderful evening. I want to say a few words about the feast, the solemnity that we observe today, the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is, in fact, a celebration of the love of God. It is a celebration of the love that is God. St. John tells us God is love. It is his very nature. It is his very being. Love. The human heart of Jesus, the seat of his love manifested in so many ways in his earthly ministry, but a human heart hypostatically united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The human love that Jesus expressed for all of us is, in fact, the very love of God himself. St. Paul tells us in the second reading this evening that even while we were in our sins, even when alienated from God, God loved us so much that he sent his Son who gave his life for us. This love that we celebrate is no sentimental or romantic love, even though we see all those hearts on Valentine's Day. Let's not get the wrong idea. The heart of Jesus is a heart that is willing to bleed and to die for love of us. The most important text in the New Testament that supports our understanding of and devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a text that we didn't hear this evening. It comes from St. John's account of the passion and death of Jesus. And you'll recall that he tells us that when criminals were crucified, it was customary to ensure their death, to break their legs, a final terrible infliction of pain. But in the case of Jesus, no. To fulfill Scripture, not one of his bones shall be broken. In fact, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself, a lance, a spear was put into the heart of Jesus, and blood and water gushed out, which from the very beginning has been understood by the church, the fathers of the church, as the beginning of the church. It was St. Augustine who told us that as he died on the cross and as the blood and water gushed from his side, the church was born. The sacramental life of the church symbolized by blood and water. Because the love of God manifest in Jesus Christ was not to be expressed just for a time years ago, but would continue to be expressed and to be known and to be lived till the end of time in and through his mystical body, the church, whose soul is the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul says the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're celebrating, that that magnificent love of God for us that even brought God to death on a cross. How much we have to be grateful for. But here we are. Here we are in the Church of Christ, 2,000 years later, after that great event on Calvary. And the love of God continues to be poured out in our hearts. And we respond to that love by doing all we can to faithfully carry out our mission as members of the church. I think it's a wonderful coincidence that we are launching our new strategic pastoral plan on this Feast of the Sacred Heart, because that plan helps us to focus on what we are about as the church, as members of Christ's body. At the conclusion of Mass, every parish will be invited to pick up in the vestibule area a packet that you can take back, and in there are copies of the text of the pastoral plan and all sorts of other things that you will have to read at your leisure. But that will give you the full picture. The pastoral plan that we have is, in a sense, nothing new. Why? Because the gospel is nothing new. It's always new, but we're not adding anything to it. The mission of the church really remains the same since the time of the Great Commission. And so what we are trying to do as a local church is to focus our attention, our energies, our activities, our prayers on several areas, several goals that belong integrally to the mission of the church. Let me just tell you what those goals are. First, to form and to educate all Catholics to live as disciples of Christ, evangelizing everyone they meet. That is, bringing Christ to everyone. To our fellow Christians, yes, and in particular to those who do not know Christ. We are all part of the evangelizing mission dimension of the church. When Jesus told his apostles to go out, to teach all nations, to baptize them, to call people to Christ, that's a word for us today. So that's our first goal. Secondly, to support people at all ages, at all stages of their life, in their growth in the Catholic faith. We really can't be evangelizers. We can't really bring Christ to others unless we ourselves are given to the continuous task of growing in the faith, of coming to know Christ and the love of Christ more each day. Third, to promote stewardship as a way of life among all within our diocese. So fundamental is biblical stewardship that we cannot be disciples authentically unless we are stewards. Why? Because what is a steward? What is a biblical steward? One who recognizes that everything we have, everything we are, is a gift from God. And in profound thanksgiving for that gift, we give back to God the first and the best of those gifts. That's what stewardship is. Yes, our local church could not survive without the generosity of time and talent and treasure of all of you and of all of our faithful Catholics. But first, stewardship is part of your formation. It's part of your becoming an authentic disciple of Christ. Fourth, to increase active participation in the sacramental, devotional, and prayer life of the church. This is a goal that has been taken on, in fact, by the bishops of the United States. We all know that participation in the sacramental life of the church is far from what it ought to be. among our brothers and sisters, even in the Catholic faith. We want to do all that we can through prayer and action to bring our brothers and sisters back to the fullness of life in the church through the celebration of the sacraments, through fidelity to prayer and devotion to the saints. Fifth, to enhance, to build up the vocation and sanctity of marriage, strengthening and supporting family life according to the teachings of the church. There is, I think, no institution, human or divine, under more attack in our world today than is marriage and family life. Ours is a culture that now does not particularly support what we understand to be marriage. And so by helping our married faithful, especially those who are also parents, to live out their vocation, to share the faith with their children, is something we're going to give ourselves to wholeheartedly in this pastoral plan. And then finally, to identify, nurture, and sustain vocations to the priesthood, the consecrated life, and the diaconate. We need priests. We need consecrated men and women. We need faithful deacons. I need them to help me carry out my mission as bishop of the diocese. You know, many of these things, many of them, in fact, all of them in one way or another, are already being done in parishes throughout the diocese. That's why I said this is nothing new, but it's going to help us to focus. We are hoping in this way, as the title of our pastoral plan says, not only to live the mission, but to transform the culture, to make a difference in the world in which we live, because we are believers, because we are faithful Catholics, to make Christ known, to bring gospel values where they are so lacking in so many places today. So, this in very summary form is what we're going to be about, I suspect not just for 5 years, but more like 500 years, because this is what the church is about. So, I want to say one final thing about this pastoral plan. There's going to be a particular emphasis upon the participation of the laity in this plan. It's so very essential that every member of Christ's body take up the mission of the church according to the circumstances and vocations that there are. Our priests and our deacons are going to do that. But we need you to go out there into the world, into the place where you live and where you work and where you recreate, and to bring Christ to so many places and so many occupations that rightfully is your place and your duty. So you're going to hear an awful lot about mobilizing the laity. We're going to do all we can as priests and deacons, as clergy, to support, to lead, to form, but we need you to be with us, to make the mission of Christ alive in our diocese. Thank you to Ed Gaffney, who directs our Office of Mission Effectiveness. It's really been Ed, and I know he's had his collaborators and helpers also, but it's Ed who really has brought this pastoral plan, after much consultation over many, many months, has brought it to birth tonight. So Ed, I, and all of us owe you a great debt of gratitude. Let's turn to the Sacred Heart of Jesus now and ask him to sustain us in our work of being Christ, of bringing Christ to the world, of living the mission, and of transforming our culture.